Refugees are a divisive issue in modern Australia, but we tend to look back on the refugee influx after World War II as a kinder, more tolerant time. We Australians welcomed all those new Australians, didn't we? Well, actually, no. According to a new book which investigates the history of one camp, Bonnie Giller, which was set up in a former army training camp in rural Victoria, Alexander Delios is the author of Histories of Controversy, the Bonnie Giller Migrant Centre. She told Annie Haswell that camps like Bonnie Giller were far from happy places.
I think one of the facets of some of these camps like Bonnie Giller is that they were on the edges of mainstream Australia. They were on the edges of towns. They were in rural Australia. So a lot of these DPs to begin with were kept out of sight and out of mind. So they weren't particularly visible to the mainstream Australian population.
So there wasn't the kind of reaction to refugees, for example, that we have these days.
So Arthur Calwell did at one point agree to receive a number of Jewish refugees from, so victims of the Holocaust, and there was an outcry amongst the mainstream population and in the media against receiving Jewish refugees. And I wouldn't say that across the board people were receptive to refugees, but the government did put a lot of money into selling and promoting the benefits of post-war immigration.
So one of the other areas that you focus on that you say didn't receive attention really in retrospect is the health standards in these places, and there was the issue of the death of newly arrived babies in 1949.
These centres weren't set up to accommodate families. They especially weren't set up to accommodate children. There were former army training camps in most cases. For some bizarre reason, the Department of Immigration didn't foresee the need to install necessary even bedding or heating or the proper equipment for feeding babies.
There wasn't good medical care offered as soon as they arrived then?
No, the department was severely understaffed, and the numbers that kind of kept pouring in quickly overwhelmed them in a lot of cases. So in this short period of time, in Bonnie Giller alone, 12 babies died over 6 months in late 1949. But this continued to happen across the country in other camps as well. And people, mothers in Cowra Holding Centre did actually also stage a protest about the standard of facilities for even feeding their babies. The places in which they could sterilise bottles, for example, were just not available. So after a number of these protests, the hospitals within the camps were improved. Access to simple things like more bread, milk and eggs were improved.
Really fascinating, isn't it? Because it's not what you hear. You hear a very positive story about how wonderfully welcoming Australia was to migrants after the Second World War. The story you're telling throws up some very different things. And the other aspect that you look at is the riots, which clearly have been conveniently forgotten as well. But in 1952 and in 1961, there were serious riots in Bonnie Giller.
I mean, these riots have not been forgotten by respective communities within Australia. They've certainly been forgotten as part of the wider success story that is post-war immigration, which many politicians and even journalists will somehow tie to current-day multiculturalism. But a lot of the men and women who experience some of these conditions, the riots stand out quite clearly in their minds, particularly in 1952, but also in the Italian community in 1961 as well. And they were tied up in not just the conditions of unemployment, but also the political context. We're talking about the Cold War. A lot of the men who rioted didn't express clear communist tendencies, but because of the nature of the political context, they were able to be brushed aside by the government as being communist agitators, for example. And many of those men went on to be monitored by ASIO for a long time and were denied citizenship in the 70s and the 60s.
What did actually instigate those riots? How bad did things get?
It was a combination of things. First of all, the living conditions at the camp, but primarily it was the lack of employment, particularly amongst single men who had arrived, as I said, under a work contract and had expected to be put into work. And they had debts to pay off to the Italian loaning agency that had paid for half of their fare. They were still paying accommodation fees at Bonnie Giller. So they were accruing debt, but they weren't getting employment because Australia was going through an economic downturn. So there were riots in Brisbane as well as the lack of work allocation. The government refused to send them back, but it also wasn't able to find them work. So many of them basically stayed at Bonegilla for up to 4 to 6 months at a time. And by all accounts, it was miserable conditions. The riots occurred in July. I'm told it was a particularly brutal winter, and they were quite depressed and understandably agitated.
Can you draw comparisons between Bonegilla and those kind of places and the current onshore detention facilities? Well, the way Australian policy is dealing with currently with the issue of immigration.
Detention centres aren't, some people will say they are, but they're not exactly modern equivalents of immigration centres like Bonegilla. Detention centres are explicitly designed as deterrents and continue to inflict damage on all people who pass through them, whereas immigration reception and training centres like Bonegilla they're not exactly examples of a national cuddle, like we like to think they are, but they were intended as reception points for assisted migrants that we hoped would eventually become assimilated citizens.
Alexander Delios is the author of Histories of Controversy, the Bonegilla Migrant Centre.